Welcome back to the Godly Young Men Podcast. This is episode 61. We've got two fantastic episodes in a row lined up that we're really excited for. I'm a big sports guy, and you know, kind of the sports debates, there's always like, who's your top five this? Who's your top three that quarterbacks? Or, you know, basketball, top five players of all time, or whatever it is. And those kind of lists have always, I enjoy putting those lists together, top five movies and stuff like that. And so we're doing something similar with this episode and the next episode, but we'll save that one for next time. What we're doing today is we're just going to talk about what are the top five things that we want to teach our sons. This is the Godly Young Men Podcast, and you know, I am a dad of two. You're a dad of four. All of our kids are five and Harrison's not six yet, is he?
No. September will be six.
Yeah. All of them are five and under, very, very young still. But obviously, we've learned a lot about being fathers in the last, you know, 3 to 5 years. Still learning every single day, and it's one of those things that we think a lot about what are the lessons that we want to pass on to our kids. What are the things that we want to pass on specifically to our sons? Again, with this being the Godly Young Men Podcast, that's kind of how this podcast was born. Is like, hey, what do we want our kids to know? What do we want our sons specifically to know about being a godly young man? And so we thought we'd put together a list. Each of us have five things that we're going to talk about. We have not revealed them to each other
yet. No, we have not.
So, you know, we'll maybe get some good discussion out of those things. So it'll be a total of 10, actually. So two top five lists.
We may cross over in some ways.
We haven't gone over this.
So we may cross over, but that's okay. It's never too young to start thinking about what to teach your kids, I'd say. Yes, my oldest is five. Youngest is 3 months, 3.5 months. And so I do have three boys and three out of the four. And so this is something that's actually been on my mind a lot. This is actually a very heavy thing that I'm taking very seriously. We hope you take this very seriously. As to what do you think needs to be passed on? Now, there's a bazillion and one lessons. As a matter of fact, I'm working on a book right now that hopefully will be out through Focus Press later this year. Hopefully middle of this year, but I don't want to promise it too soon. But I've already written a lot of this, which is Rules to Being a Man. And I initially had 101 rules, and then it was 150 rules, and it keeps growing.
I got a lot of rules.
But it's small things, you know. Put your phone away when you go to the Grand Canyon, things like that, that have a bigger story. Each one of them has a little bit more that I add to it. But I do have that list out that hopefully, and again, it'll just be something for my boys to have later down the line. As you said, these videos themselves are specifically for my boys to be able to find this, should God forbid anything happen to me, they'll at least get some of these lessons. This particular episode is the top five things that, yes, we want them to learn everything that we've talked about, and we hope that you've enjoyed all the, you know, I think, what'd you say, 60? What are we on?
We're on 61.
61, my goodness. But yes, the top five things is really what we're looking for here of lessons that maybe we don't get a full podcast out of, just things that we think are very, very important. And so
I wanted to say also, just so you guys know how committed we are to you as the Godly Young Men Podcast listeners, it is like 68 degrees outside right now.
Man.
It is March Madness weekend.
Gorgeous.
We could be, you know, chilling out. So we wanted to be here with you guys.
That's right.
And sharing these lessons. We're here for you guys. And my bracket is already toasted, so it doesn't really matter about March Madness anymore. I picked Auburn like a doofus. So,
I had Kentucky in the top four an idiot.
Yikes.
So
I had Kentucky in the Elite Eight and then Auburn.
That was
I don't
rough.
Know why I picked a four seed. But anyway, Joe, let's
the other
get
three
to
of my final four are okay. We'll see how it goes.
Hey, and Tennessee is they're cruising right along.
I picked Tennessee as the champ. So
nice.
We'll see.
Nice.
Come on. Come on. Yeah, now that I live here. But let's jump right in. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna let you go first on this one.
So I'm actually going to go 5-1, 5-4-3-2-1. I did not really in order of importance, but I did kind of structure him as far as like more important kind of as it goes down. So the first thing, so my number five rule or five thing that I want to teach, fifth most important thing I want to teach my son is that being a man is a great thing.
Mm.
Being a man is a great thing. We obviously, this is a staple of the Godly Young Men Podcast, that our society is shouting men down, is saying it's not great to be a man, toxic masculinity, all these things. And I just want my son to know, it is truly great to be a man. It's truly great to, you know, we had an episode a few weeks ago on, you know, doing masculine things, hunting, fishing, playing sports. Like, those things are great. Those things are fantastic. And I don't want my son to listen to the world and listen to social media in the sense of, like, that he needs to repress those kind of masculine urges. And, like, no, it truly is great to be a man. So that's my fifth.
We're under attack in America. I think men in particular, and you're going to have people, I don't figure feminists are watching this, but if they do, what are you talking about? Men get everything. No, if you really stop and look at it, men are kind of, specifically white males, are pushed to the side. They are marginalized these days because you get everything. Well, now they give us nothing. Hey, it's great to be a man, and I think that's such an important lesson to just let our kids know. Like,
you don't have to be ashamed of it.
You don't have to be ashamed of it. This is not something to apologize for. Apologize on behalf of men. Men have used their power to do really bad things. Women have used their power to do really bad things. You go, women don't have power. Yes, they do. In their own ways, they've used their what they've been given by God in very poor ways, and we have as well. I'm not apologizing for all men. It's great to be a man. So yeah. I love that lesson.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. Number one for me, I have progress over perfection.
Nice.
Progress over perfection.
That's good.
Because I think about how many people grow up as perfectionists. You have a lot of people that get burnt out and they don't do anything. And then you have a lot of people that just seek for perfection and they have no grace for themselves and they don't really understand grace. And I see both ends of the spectrum quite a bit. What I want my kids to know is, specifically my boys, it's the effort that matters. Progress is important. As long as you're making progress, because look, you can only do your best, and I certainly hope that they do their best, and sometimes their best is going to be perfect. That's great. Sometimes their best is not. That means there's room for growth. Even if it's perfect, I would still say find ways to progress in whatever area possible. Progress is the most important thing we can do, but inherent in that is Christ's grace is sufficient. You will mess up. You will make mistakes. You will run across things you're not supposed to. You know, if I had known this, I really thought I was supposed to be the perfect kid. Getting into porn just about ruined me because it went against the Joe is perfect mentality that I had. We're not perfect. We are imperfect human beings, but it's progress. It is trying. It's the effort that matters the most, more than anything. And as long as you're growing, that's all we can ask.
I think about that phrase, the perfect being the enemy of the good.
Yeah.
And you know how you wanting the desire to be perfect can paralyze you into not doing anything at all. And so the good you could do just gets eradicated because you never even try in the first place. And so, yeah, I like that a lot. And that hits at a lot of what we've talked about before with, you know, growth being the goal, not necessarily just the end result. So I like that. I don't have a lot to add, but that's really good. Progress over perfection. I'm going to move on to my number four. The fourth most important thing I want to teach my son is to honor his commitments. Mm. And I put kind of as a sub heading of this one, being a flake is one of the worst character traits.
That's so good.
I can't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast or not, but the character trait of being a flake, like flakiness, just kind of like backing out of commitments and, you know, people who call out of work. Like you can just tell people who are kind of looking for, you know, if they say they're going to be somewhere and then they're just looking for a better option and they just flake out. That's a kind of a more minor thing that just kind of irritates me as a pet peeve, but on a grander scale, what I want to teach my son, honor your commitments. If you commit to something, then honor it. Like show up to the whatever it is that you say you're going to show up to. If you agree to finish a job, finish the job. If you agree to, you know, whatever it is, honor your commitments. This obviously could apply to marriage. It could apply to, I mean, if you're going to be a dad, you're committing to be a dad, honor that commitment. Like it can apply to a lot of those things. And I think we live in a world where it is easy to flake out. It is very easy to just do the, you know, to take the easy way out and just not honor the commitment. And I want my son to know as a man, it is his responsibility to honor his commitments.
It also makes you very keenly aware of the commitments you do make. Be smart about it. Don't jump into something head. And you see this like people jumping into horrible marriages, right? Well, she's hot and we get along and then they jump in. Like you have to honor that commitment, meaning you stay married to this person for life. This is a legitimate commitment that if you aren't honoring and if you're a flake, you can't flake out of everything. You know, one of the best things my dad taught me, and I remember this, I think I've told the story before, but, you know, when we were supposed to remove the bushes, $75, that would have cost the guy probably $400 to have done from somebody else. I was an idiot. $75 seemed like all the money in the world to me at the time. My dad had to come. It was not you, where I'm getting you out of the commitment. You did make the commitment. We're not asking for more money. You did say $75. He helped me with it. He brought the equipment. We got it done a lot faster than I would have by hand. But you honor the commitment. And what that did next time is, I'm not going to sell myself short. I'm going to actually pay attention to $75 is not that much for all the work. So it made me think more about the commitments that I took on from then on out.
And again, I just think of it from like a corporate perspective of like, you agreed to get paid this much salary to show up 5 days a week. Don't be the person that calls out all the time.
Right.
Don't be the person that can't be relied upon. There's a dependability aspect to this of somebody who honors their commitment. And in a world where the number of people who honor their commitments is ever decreasing, you will set yourself apart and be even more successful as a man if you honor your commitments. So that'd be my number
four. Yeah, no, I love that. I have one that's similar to that I'll get to in number three. But number four for me, I'm big on this, understand the why. Mm-hmm. Ask questions, be curious, be the one that is never not learning, right? Never stop learning, I guess, as people say. To me, that's one of the most important things that could happen because where I see people go wrong is, well, yeah, I have faith. Well, why do you have faith? I don't really know. My parents go to church, so I go to church, right? Well, why do you read your Bible? That's just what we're supposed to do, right? Like, well, why is homosexuality wrong? Why shouldn't we sleep with our girlfriends before marriage? Because God says not to. understand the why. Yes, yeah. That is a legitimate reason. God says not to. I mean, that's, yeah, probably reason number one. There are other reasons. Why did God say not to? We want to always be learning and asking ourselves why. So if you understand the why of everything, to me, this is what streamlines Christianity. I'm not afraid of any part of Christianity because I know there's a why behind it. God never does things like meaninglessly. He never does things needlessly. He always has reasons, even if we can't understand them because we're not God. He always has reasons for things, and this is where trust comes in on the things we don't understand. But so many times, if we dig just a layer or two deeper than what we're used to doing in the church, we do come to the right answer. We do start realizing, oh, wow, God's saying that for our benefit, not just for him because he's a mean God or whatever it is. But this goes for everything in the marriage. Why is my wife sad today? Why is, you just get curious. You start asking questions. It solves social anxiety. It solves relationship issues, a lot of different things. So understand the why is my number two, but technically four as we're going
working
down.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think of it makes your faith stronger.
Yeah.
You know, you can very easily memorize the do's and the don'ts. Okay, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to go to church. Why? I love that. I mean, we talk about that a lot. I think it makes for a stronger faith. It makes for a more enriching life, I would say. It's something that, again, like you said, with the curiosity and just wanting to know why. It's one thing to know the what, but knowing the why is great. Love that. I love that. My number three. Of top five things I want to teach my son. Number three is that the sexual fulfillment that is found in marriage is far superior to anything the world has to offer. Far superior. I think about all the sexual temptation that is thrown at young men, all the allures of, you know, the really hot actresses and the musicians, you know, the female musicians and all these things. And I think about how so easy it is for young men to look at what the world depicts as sexual fulfillment and go, man, that would be so nice if only I wasn't a Christian and I had, you know, like to look at marriage in a very negative way of like, I got to sleep with one woman the rest of my life. Are you kidding me? Because of how the world presents it again, because of the way Hollywood does and songs and all these things. And so I desperately want to teach my son the sexual fulfillment you find with your spouse in marriage is far more fulfilling than the person who goes out to, you know, to bars on the weekends and hooks up with everybody, you know, that they can find and just sleeps around, all these things. Like, that's what Hollywood depicts it as is so much less fulfilling than what you can find in marriage. And again, that's not, that's something that a lot of young men, I feel like, just don't get the picture of because of social media and all these things. And so I desperately want to make sure my son knows what you find in marriage and how sexually fulfilled you are is so much more fulfilling than what the world offers.
That's such a great point. And it's something to work on too, because you go, well, am I sexually compatible with this person? This is why a lot of people sleep with multiple people and they sleep before marriage. Am I sexually compatible? You will be sexually compatible with your wife if you stick to working with it, you know, working with her and working on this and really trying to engage with her as much as possible on that. I think we have, and the world has way overblown this idea of, are we sexually compatible? It's so fulfilling in a marriage where both are attempting to be compatible for one another. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing. So that's a really good one. My number three, be the steady one. This goes to your point not being flaky, but be the steady one. Be the rock, not Dwayne Johnson. Don't
the rock.
Yeah, don't be that rock, but be a rock. Be the rock in your family. Be the consistent one who shows up. Be the steady one.
Emotionally and all that.
Exactly,
like that,
because you know what? Your wife is going to have some really difficult days. Can she rely on you? The church is going to go through some difficult times wherever you are. Can they rely on you? Can you be the steady one whose emotions are not all over the place and you know, the flake who's barely showing up and barely able to be counted on? And you know, your wife needs to know, I will be taken care of.
Yeah.
From day one, I will be taken care of. I don't care if the guy's got to work 70 hours at McDonald's. He's going to do it because he's consistent, because he's steady. When everything else goes wrong, I know that he's going to work harder than everybody else to bring home the bacon. That's something that I don't pride myself on per se, but I know my wife knows this. You won't go hungry. You know what I mean? I don't care what I have to do. I don't care if I have to go wash windows at people's houses down the street. I will make sure that we have money in the bank and that you have food on the table. That's steadiness. That is consistency that my wife can trust, not because I'm some great guy, but because I've vowed to you that I was going to work hard for you, that I was going to be there for you. Be steady in your commitments. Be steady when you show up for people. Be the steady one at church. Be the steady one in your home where the kids aren't having to take care of mom and dad's emotions, so to speak, or dad's emotions. You need to be the one that's taking care of their emotions. That doesn't mean you can't be emotional. It doesn't mean you don't have breakdowns from time to time, which is just really difficult. The weight of things, talk it through with your wife, talk it through with your buddies. You know, hopefully you got some partners that are helping, some accountability partners, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, by and large, you need to be the one that everybody can look to and say, he's the guy that gets it done. That's what I want for my boys.
It is almost certain that if you are emotionally unstable and kind of all over the place with your emotions as a dad, your kids will be exactly the same way. Very rarely do you get a rock steady, just real solid head on his shoulders kid from a, you know, a father who sets that tone in his family of emotional instability. Yeah. I think of, it's really cheesy, but I grew up watching Little House on the Prairie a lot. I think of Pa, Charles Ingalls, like he was steady. Like he was, you knew he was going to take care of the family. You knew that they were going to have enough food and all these things. I love that. That's really
to
good.
Be protected, and everything else.
Yeah, and as the father, as the dad and the husband that we're training our sons to be, that is what a wife wants and needs. And that is what kids to have the confidence knowing dad's going to take care of us. We're going to be okay. Like, you know, I certainly had that growing up and it was a huge blessing. I know a lot of kids don't, but yeah, that's a good one. I love that one. I was going to tell you, too, as I'm about to get my number two, I do have a funny one at the end.
Okay.
So I've got 5 + 1 funny. I didn't prep you on that beforehand.
That's
so
all right.
If you can think of one.
I do have one, actually, that I was going to use and not make it funny, but that I had it, yes.
Also, so like all of these, all our five are going to be kind of like pretty important, but I do have one that, you know, I'm going to add that is, you know, a little bit less important. But my number two is, once again, a Golly Young Men staple. I want my son, the second most important thing I want to teach my son is to strive for greatness in everything he does.
Mm.
Strive for greatness in everything he does. We have beat this drum to death, and we will continue to beat this drum to death because it's kind of the motto of our podcast. You don't have to be mediocre. You don't have to be the guy that barely gets by at his job or is not all that, you know, successful in his, you know, athletic ability and his with his weight. Or like, strive for greatness. Be good at it. Work harder. And that's something that, again, our society just pushes mediocrity and accepting mediocrity and, you know, not really standing out above the rest. And, you know, the people that do really well in their career or with money or in athletics or whatever, man, those are the really weird people. You can't really attain that. And I just want my son to learn that he can strive for greatness. He can really push in his career. He can strive for greatness to be the best dad he can be, to be the best husband he can be, in the church, to be the best leader in the church he could be. There's so many areas. And because of what we started with talking about how masculinity is being shouted down, that innate desire that men have to conquer and to be great and to strive for greatness is continually being pushed down and repressed by even the church, as we've talked about before. The church is telling men, hey, you know, you need to kind of take it easy here. You don't really need to strive for greatness there. Just kind of let the ladies take it. No. Strive for greatness in everything. I want my son to know, again, whether he's out there playing backyard football, whether he's in college and taking a really tough course, whether he's, you know, at his first big boy job, strive for greatness in everything he does, because he can be great. You know, we as men, again, we have that desire to conquer, and I do not want him to be accepting of mediocrity like so many young men are.
Yeah, where the church goes wrong, it's such a good point, obviously. It's the motto here of our podcast. But where the church goes wrong, I think, is that they only push men to strive for greatness spiritually. We want to make sure that we have a really good relationship with God. Point. Like, yeah, we do. All the spiritual things. We want to have a great relationship with God. We want to have a great prayer life. We want to have a great study life, things like that. No doubt. We're not saying that's not the case. But to your point, this is where the church falls short in its theology. Masculine theology is like, how else can I be a man? I can't just read my Bible every day. There are other ways to be a man. And when people talk about that, because we were recently talking about something between me and my brother about, and there was some tweet, I think, of somebody saying like, well, it's masculine for you to be a strong Christian, a devout Christian who reads his Bible and who prays and who doesn't. And they're like, well, my 96-year-old grandma is one of the most masculine Christians I've ever seen. Right.
That's
like
right.
If that's what masculinity is, if that's what striving for greatness is all about, you miss so much.
It's part
more.
Of it, but it's not the whole picture.
Correct. It's not the whole picture. Like, it's a very important part of the picture. But to your point, whatever job you get, if you're a janitor, strive for greatness. If you are, you know, going out and playing t-ball, strive for greatness. Whatever you're doing, you can strive to be the best. You can strive for greatness. And you know what? What's the worst that can happen? You don't attain it. Well, you're way better than if you didn't even try. Yeah. So why not strive in every area?
And this is why so many guys don't really connect with anybody at church, why they don't really connect with the idea of church in general, why they don't enjoy going to church, is because the picture that is painted is you as a man striving for greatness is only spiritual. Everything else doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. Doesn't matter if you exercise. Doesn't matter. You know, just, you know, everybody, every man for himself, essentially. Yep. And nobody wants to be a part of that. And so, yeah, I love how you kind of brought that point up of, no, not just spiritually. Yes, spiritually, most importantly, but all these other areas, there is something to being masculine, being a man, getting out in the dirt, striving for greatness, and all these things. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Next, I have the little things matter, number two. The little things matter. The little things tell big stories. We had this in our other podcast of just something that I've learned in marriage. And this is something I want to pass on to my boys is pay attention to the small things in life. Pay attention to how you make your bed. Pay attention to, and this kind of goes to the strive for greatness mentality, is you need to be detail oriented. Yes, we want to be big picture guys, but there's so many guys that are big picture, but they don't ever have follow through because they're not detail oriented. You and I have talked about this a lot, where we know certain guys, I think, you know, some people that are fairly close to us, that broad picture thinking, fantastic, but when it comes to the little details along the way, you know, they don't really pan out all that much. It's not fantastic in kind of the how it gets done. I want to be detail oriented while understanding the bigger picture. And so to get there, I think the biggest thing for my boys is to look at life kind of through the microscope, so to speak, and also from the 30,000 foot view. It's difficult to do both.
It's a balance.
It's a balance that you have to strive for, but it is the idea of be paying attention to things as you go throughout the day. People watch. You know, look at the small things that the way you clean the bathroom, the way that you
read body language, I would say.
I mean, those things tell a story. Like a guy furrows his brows a little bit. Well, what does that mean? This is part of the curiosity, but you're picking up on little things along the way, and it's kind of difficult to describe because it's one of those like nuanced, you either get it or you don't. But you see so many guys that just kind of blow right past the small, man, blink and you miss moments. But that's where life happens, is in the blink and you miss moments. And if you had been paying attention, you would have known that that guy really didn't take it as well as you thought he took it, which means you're going into whatever meeting thinking that he's backing you and you didn't know because of his body language, you missed it. Those are the things, yeah. You know what I mean? The little things tell much bigger stories. Your wife goes, it's fine. You go, okay, well, good.
Cool. It's she fine. Said it was fine.
She said it's fine. It's never fine, okay? Don't ever take that. Like, if she says it's fine, it's not fine. Make sure you're going and talking about it. But if you're not picking up on those things, or your wife kind of shrugs and kind of looks away a little bit, you go, what's that about? It's small. It's very, almost imperceptible. Almost like you blink and you miss. It's a small thing. Yeah. Because if you pay attention to the small, if you're really dialed in, then you can start putting things together. This could have been third on my list. Actually, this wasn't on my list. I just came up with this one.
This is really, really interesting because I do think the people who are the most successful in the world are very detail-oriented.
I'm reading Steve Jobs' biography, which is a long one. I think I was reading it weeks ago. It's a long one, and I'm a few hundred pages in, and almost every page is like, this guy cares. But yes, he started Apple, started Pixar, started a lot of things. Yep. Clearly, he's a big-minded guy, big-picture guy. But at the same time,
he was able to do that manic. Because he was detail-oriented.
Exactly. Yeah. He's manic about the details. This color yellow. Or, I don't like the way that this particular font makes this letter look. Like, we can't help that, man. We'll just build a new font. Those type of things. You're going, that's the stupidest thing ever. It mattered. And everything that he did presented something that was much, like the smaller parts made a much bigger story, so to speak. He understood that.
So I'm going to tie this directly into my number one, sure. Because it's going to dovetail into that. My number one most important lesson, or the lesson I want to teach my son, is the importance of being a student of God's word. Mm. And there are a lot of little things in the Bible you could miss if you're just reading through it. If you're just doing your daily Bible reading, my four chapters a day, let me just, you know, follow along in the sermon. If you're not a student of God's word, those things can get missed. And there were a lot of things that I could have put number one, you know, the importance of being a great dad, or, you know, not cheating on your spouse. I kind of already did that one with the sexual film. Like, there were a lot of things I could hit on. But I think for a godly young man who is going to have a lot of things bidding for his time, his family, career, you know, hopefully, like, just a ton of things. The importance of being a student of God's word is what I really want to pass on to my son. And if I, you know, right now I only have one, if I have more, you know, multiple sons, of that's how you draw closer to God. That's how you learn more about how he wants us to live in this life. That's how you, you know, again, just further deepen your relationship with God. And if you're trying to figure out how to be a better dad, be a better student of God's word. If you want to figure out how to be a better husband, be a better student of God's word, better friend, better worker, read the Proverbs,
I like,
you know,
that.
Less lazy. What character traits do you need to try to work on? Read the New Testament. There's just so many things that, you know, I would just say being a better student of God's word is probably the most important lesson I want to pass on.
Man, not much more I can say to that. Now I feel bad for my number one not being more more godly.
I covered it for you. There you
go. Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's perfect. And that's so, boys, if you're listening to my boys, make sure you're paying attention to that one too. No, I mean, I think that's such a valuable point that people go, well, duh, no. Seriously.
Notice, and again, I said student, not consumer, where right. You just, you know, read it and pass it. No, be a student. Study.
Learn. Like, grow. Yep. You want this to seep in deep. And a lot of times it's easy to just read through the Bible. And we've talked about this before. Read through the entire Bible, and then I'll read passages or hear a sermon and go,
I've never seen that
I've
before.
Never seen that one. I wasn't studying. I wasn't a student of it. So take this seriously. Be a studious person as you present or as you come to the Word of God to better understand it. And not just to be the guy that knows Greek or whatever else. Like, that's great if you do. But be the guy who really applies this to his life and understands how to use correctly using the Word of God in any situation. That's one of the great parts about being, you know, as you've seen the elder qualifications, is like, he knows his Word. He's not a novice. He's not new to this because he knows how to apply the Word of God to each situation. I want to be that guy. And the only way you get there is by doing exactly what Will said, which is be a student of the Word of God. So that's fantastic. That's a great number one. I blended my number two and one to get to this point because I wanted to do... They're basic, but I wanted to blend them. So I had multi-generational faithfulness matters and men lead, just that. And what I'm going to say is men must lead with a future-oriented mindset.
Yeah, that's really good.
Men must lead with a future-oriented mindset. That's how I'll say it. What I mean by that is, first off, it's a no-duh statement to say men lead. Of course we lead. That's what we're supposed to do. We've talked about that a ton. Men have to be the ones that set the tone in their household. Will taught a great class on this. My brother's spoken on this. I've spoken on this before. We have to be the tone setters in our, and the culture setters in our home. The only way you know that is by looking into the future and going, what do I want us to be? What could we be? Where are we going? And if you know where you're going, then you have a path to get there. The multi-generational faithfulness, we've talked a lot about this. We talked about it on our other podcast. That's important because, once again, it's future-oriented, where it's not like we wake up every day and go, well, honey, what are we going to do today?
Yeah.
We know where we're going. We know what we have to get to. And once you know where you're going and saying, I want our kids and their kids and their kids and their kids, 250 years down the line, I want them to be faithful. What do I have to do today to create 250 years down the line faithfulness?
Yeah.
There are things we need to do today. So men have to lead. They have to be willing to sacrifice things in the meantime. But if it's not for a future-oriented goal, if we're not looking down the line and seeing where we're actually going, we're going to crash into the iceberg because we're not looking ahead going, hey, there's an iceberg over there. Let's make sure to avoid it. Sometimes the way we avoid it is by having conflict with our wife. Sometimes she's going to want to go in a certain direction. You're going to go, honey, that's not where we're going. That's not what we're doing.
Conflict with your kids. Yeah.
Exactly. Conflict with the kids. They want to go to prom. They want to talk like the rest of the world. They want to go to public school, whatever it is. And you have to be the one to hold the line and go, that's not what we do here. That's culture setting. But how do we know that's not what we do here? Because we looked into the future and said, I know what we do here. I know what we have to do here now to create this in the future. And so that's what I would say is the multi-generational faithfulness matters more than anything. And I want my boys to know God matters. Yeah. God has to be number one. And it's not, God has to be number one for you and not just for you. He's got to be number one for your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids. You have to be the one to lead them there. So when you pick a spouse, pay attention to who's going to be teaching your kids. When you teach your kids, pay attention to, don't fall into stupidity of the gentle parenting and things like that. You need to know where you're going and you need to know how to get there.
It's essentially the idea that every decision that you make is made with the thought of how is this going to affect future generations.
Correct.
Nobody thinks like that these days. Nobody Right. think, I mean, people barely think about the next generation having kids. People don't want kids these days. It's taking it to the next level of what parenting decision can I make today that's going to affect their kids and their kids and their kids. What decision, like you said, with my spouse or even career choice. Like, there's just so many things that, you know, could affect the way you make those decisions. And so that's a great one to end on. Again, just thinking multi-generationally when it comes to faithfulness of, there's got to be planning. It's got to be intentionality. So really good. I love how we had 10 or each brought 5 things and hardly any overlap.
Yeah, I'm shocked by that. That works out.
I thought we'd have at least one or two that were overlapped there.
You had a funny one though.
I do. Yeah. Just again, much more on the minor scale. I refuse to let my son be a picky eater. We've done the don't order your steak past medium thing. I thought about bringing that one up, but like just in general, Jackson, when you watch this one day, do not ever be a picky eater. Those kind of people just drive me nuts. Like, what do you like to eat? Oh man, chicken tenders and mac and cheese. No, come on, give me a break. Well, how about you? Do you have a funny one?
Mine is, it's funny. This is actually in the book, which is, and it's not really funny, but yeah.
Oh boy.
Wipe down the toilet after you go pee. Okay, please wipe down the toilet.
That's a funny one.
And what this speaks to is consideration. Be considerate.
Yeah.
You know, when the next
take the shopping cart back.
Exactly. Like, And I'm not trying to be crude here, but legitimately you see this where you walk into a boy's bathroom, it's like, holy smokes, like a bomb went off in here. No, be clean, Be considerate That's of good, the next yeah. person walking in. Wipe down. It doesn't take that much to grab some toilet paper and wipe it down. If you splatter it everywhere, which a lot of guys are horrible at, get better aim and clean up after yourself. Like, let's just be, yeah. So not to be crude, but that one drives me nuts. So yeah, make sure you're considerate and make sure you're clean.
So we only did 5 each here. Remember, Joe's got like 150 things.
I got a lot that'll be coming out later this year.
But no, we do believe these make our top 5 for a reason. These are incredibly important, and we probably could have spent 10, 15 minutes on each one of these. And so I appreciate you listening. If you're a dad and you are listening or watching, specifically on YouTube, leave a comment. What are some things that you desperately want your kids to know, specifically your sons, things you want to pass on? Because again, in our effort to be godly young men now, Joe and I, are part of that mission is to make our sons godly young men and to make their sons godly men, just as Joe kind of finished describing. So with that, we're going to wrap right there. This has been episode 61 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll be back next week.